You're listening to the Divorce and Your Money Show, the number one show on iTunes discussing the financial issues in divorce. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and certified divorce financial analyst. And in today's episode, I have an incredible guest. His name is W. Mark Watts. He is a divorce coach and just all around inspiration. I'm going to just tell you this, is this episode is unlike any episode on divorce that I have ever recorded. This interview is incredible. No thanks to me, all thanks to W. Mark Watts. You're going to be fired up and inspired when you listen to this episode. So I'm going to jump right in and get on with it. Stick around for one of the best episodes ever on the Divorce and Your Money Show. Today on the show, I have with me W. Mark Watts. He is a divorce coach and podcaster, just like me. And he has a great podcast called Divorced, Happy, and Successful. W. Mark Watts, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Sean? I'm happy to be here, man. Excited, ready to get going.
Excellent. Well, I am glad to have you. Why don't you just warm us up? Tell us a little bit about where you're from, your family, and just a little bit of background into your divorce and kind of when that happened. Set the stage for us.
All right. So I'm originally from South Carolina, so I am a Southern gentleman. I take that title very seriously. So I've only have one kid right now. Been divorced almost 12 years now. And up here in the great city of Detroit right now, just outside of Detroit. And since my divorce, you know, a lot of things have transpired. But the main thing or the main reason why I do what I do now, there's multiple reasons. But number one was just my past. I come from, my parents divorced when I was, I think, 7 years old. And literally, my mom never spoke to my dad. And when I say never, I mean never. I think I saw my mom speak to my dad or say something to him once after their divorce. And that left an impression on me. So that when I found myself in a position where my marriage wasn't working and that it was ultimately going to be end in divorce, I wanted to be something different. I wanted it to be something different. And I didn't quite know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but I knew that was not going to be my future. So it just got the wheels to turning. And then, you know, one thing led to another. And I just realized that when I look back on my life, I was not hindered or that my parents' divorce did not hurt me in the traditional sense of the word that everyone thinks. I realized that I was really blessed in so many different ways. And I ultimately just decided, hey, I want to reshape the conversation about divorced families, parents, and kids. I just want to help because there's a lot that I've been through. I have a lot to share. I've overcome a lot of things. And I just want to share that love with the world. And so that's why I do what I do. And that's why I decided to create the podcast. And my podcast is just about that, specifically for divorced parents. It's just, how do I live just a wonderful life in spite of my divorce and in spite of the things that are going on around me? How do I still be great? How do I live well? And how do I be happy? Those are all things that I aspire to do on a daily basis. And I know that I'm not the unicorn in the room. I know many divorced parents want that very same life for themselves. So I figured I'll toss my hat in the ring and go for it. And so that's what brought me here.
I think that's a great introduction. And also part of the appeal, actually, of why I had want to have you on the show and just from listening to your podcast is you come with a very positive and energetic energy. You can even hear it in your voice, especially when it's coming with and dealing with, for most people, for everyone, an extraordinarily difficult topic. And you're one of the few lively and you know, helping people with a very positive attitude, trying to help people through the divorce process.
And that's the key, Sean. It's that energy and that attitude, it colors and flavors everything you do, regardless of what it is. So I figure if I know what's successful for me. I know what works for me. I know what worked for other people that I deal with. I know what's successful for people I observe. And I know what works for people who are even a lot more happy and successful, if you will, sooner than me. So I just try and learn and take my experience and roll it up into a ball. And then I make it. I use it every day. So I know it works. And I know if it works for me, it'll work for other people too. That's the root of it, though. It's how you look at things. And you've got to really start with a positive attitude. That's where it all starts.
And I always want to make these interviews, and particularly yours, have some action steps, some insights that people can take away from hearing you. So let's take a few scenarios and get some advice from you. Let's say you're getting divorced and you're in the divorce process. What are the first steps that you should be taking or first step that you should take to start helping you recover from often the deep lows and to start transitioning to and through the healing process?
It's very simple, Sean, for me. And I try and break it down as simply as I possibly can. Imagine that you've just been hit. Someone hit you with a punch. And it wasn't a light punch. It was a very hard, tough punch. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a boxer. So if someone hits me really hard, it hurts. Now, what happens after I get hit is I got to evaluate. I got to stop and look and see, whoa, what happened? Am I still standing? Am I bleeding? Do I need to take a seat? What's really going on? Do I even have my faculties? I've got to really just evaluate what's going on. Now, in the real world, what you've got to do, there's roughly three places that you really have to evaluate right away. Finances, as I know you know very well, because you talk about and teach principles regarding finances, your relationships, you know, where is my family, where's my support, and then my health. How healthy am I? Am I able to withstand this stress? Do I physically have ailments that are hindering what I'm attempting to accomplish? So you got to evaluate those three places. And then I always suggest to everybody, take the place of greatest need. They all typically will not be the same, will not have the same sense of urgency, but there's usually one that you really need to address and it'll stand out to you. Take that one spot and then figure out what you need, whether you need to get more knowledge, whether you need to get more help, or whether you just need to redo that whole area of your life. And start to focus on that immediately. That's exactly the process that I went through, and that's exactly the process that I take everyone that I work with through as well.
I think that's excellent advice and probably the best way I've heard anyone ever break down the three major areas as you go through the divorce process and start transitioning to the other side. Looking back, what were some of the mistakes that you made and maybe wish you could have corrected or maybe even still make today?
Well, the biggest one, and as soon as I saw this, it just was glaringly obvious what I wanted to talk about here. And my biggest mistake was communication. And I mean, so much so that nothing else is even close. Hmm. And that is a constant work in progress for me. And here's the reason why I was able. So sometimes you do things and you don't really know why you did them. So for example, I did not make a serious attempt to communicate more of the details of my life or what I was doing, what my plans were with my former spouse, simply because I didn't think that it was that important to her. She didn't outwardly show that she had an interest, concern, or even needed to know things about what I was really intending to do. And so that gave me the impetus to say, okay, I won't communicate these things. I will just do things. And so that in and of itself just is really the first thing that comes to my mind is just, if I could do it again, I would start sooner with a different outlook on how I communicated with her, regardless of how she communicated back to me or reciprocated my attempts to communicate with her. Because that was the other side of it is I would look for, okay, how is she responding to me? And then now I can read things into that because it was not, it's not always a warm reception. Not that she's being mean, but it's just not what you would expect when I extend my hand in friendship. Mm-hmm. And so that flavored how I responded or continued to communicate with her. And over time, as of course I grew and learned and I'm challenged by my mentors and you figure out the better way to handle things, then I started to realize that it was important, that it is important, regardless of what her response is. Because what I found is that higher level of communication really started to help our relationship, and especially in terms of how we deal with our son. So communication by far for me was the key. Get better at communicating. And that is the one thing that I will work on the rest of my life because, you know, in my divorce, post-divorce life, it was huge, but I realized how important it is in every facet of my life. So it was a lesson for my post-divorce life, but it was a lesson for my life as a whole. And that one thing has really helped me in so many different ways.
I want to ask a follow-up to that without getting too specific, but what's an example of a time or a type of time where you should have communicated, but you didn't? It can be something, you know, even on an everyday or basic occurrence, just to give people something a little more concrete to think about.
Absolutely. So what was it? Maybe a year and a half after our divorce. Of course, we're not living together. I lost my job. I was laid off. I was in the mortgage industry. And it was the onset of the latest recession. And the company I was working for closed, that branch closed. So I lost my job. And at that time, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a banking capital, one of the banking capitals in the United States. Well, the mortgage industry was really diving. So no one was hiring. It was very difficult for me to find a job. But it seemed that things in Atlanta were still working. And so I made the decision because at that time I'd been in the mortgage industry for 7-8 years. So it was very difficult to transition out of that at the drop of a dime. And I made a decision that I needed to move to Atlanta to try and stay in the mortgage industry and provide for myself and my son, because at that time I was unable to provide. I was unable to find a job, a good job. So I made the decision to move. Well, I moved. And I think maybe minimally, I communicated the fact that, hey, I'm moving to Atlanta. So I did not make the effort. I was not wise enough to explain to her the situation and the predicament, to explain what the outlook would be, to explain how I still envisioned my support for my son and how we would manage that. So those are things that kind of trickled in after the fact that we were able to work through. But when I look back, I would have felt much more comfortable if I had taken the time to sit down, lay it out for her, and then get any feedback that she had at the time so that I could really move forward with a clearer conscience. And we both could be more on the same page because we're still part of the team. I call it Team BJ. BJ is my son's name. We're still part of Team BJ, and we always have to keep that in mind. And I always have to make sure that I'm doing my part as a member of that team.
I think that's a great explanation. And let's transition actually to speaking about your son and actually more parenting in general. You know, there's a perception for a lot of people that divorce is always bad for your children. What do you think about that? Do you think that's true, not true? You know, how have you navigated that process with your son?
First and foremost, I definitely cannot agree with a blanket statement, you know, how divorce affects children. Is it the best case scenario for children? Absolutely not. I'm on board with that. But again, I'm one of four kids. And when I look at myself and my three older sisters, we have all maintained good lives. We've never been in jail. We all graduated. We all have some form of higher education, whether it be college or technical school. We're all gainfully employed. We're all loving individuals. Three of us have kids. So when I think about people saying how divorce negatively affects kids, I do my research. I do my homework. And that's one thing that I always do. I always rely on what I can figure out and experience and what I know, as opposed to just what someone's saying, talking loud, or just that you see it so much that it must be true. I look across the landscape, not only in my family, but in my environment. So my friends, families of friends, I talk to people, I observe, and I look at the whole landscape. And could it be a bad situation for a kid? Absolutely. But parents who are married can have such a toxic environment as well that can be bad for kids. So it's not solely because they're divorced. It's more about the individual situation. It's more about the environment. It's more about who are their major influencers. And then again, part of that is on the kid as well, knowing the fact that, of course, age is a factor. So, of course, you can't expect a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old to really have a lot to do with that process. But as the kid starts to get older, they develop things that they learn. And so then they become a part of the equation also. But yeah, just divorce being negative across the board, I'll never agree with that, because I've lived it, I've seen it, and I've talked to so many other people and worked with so many other people where I've seen the contrary.
You know, while we're on that path, I want to talk about another negative that I hear, or that many people read about in society. And that's that, you know, that being a divorced dad is a bad thing. You're not a good parent, and maybe you're a failure in some regard. Why don't you address that?
You know, I take exception with that one as well, simply because, again, I do my research, I look back at my past, I look at my present, and I talk to and I see men of all colors and shapes and sizes across the landscape, and I say, hey, okay, let me evaluate this. What do I see? What do I feel? What's my gut? What's the energy behind that topic? And yes, are there some fathers who do a real crappy job in their post-divorce life? Absolutely. Flip side, are there fathers who do a really good job and they work hard at it? Absolutely. And so that's the angle that I always approach it with, is that you've got two sides to this coin. By and large, though, my research shows that the numbers are more men work hard, do their best, care about their kid than the ones who don't. And so that's what we really have to focus on. And now, as in terms of how I really deal with it on my personal level, and how I suggest that the people that I work with deal with it, is I have one hard and fast rule, and it's simply this: always do your best. Always do your best. That's my motto every day that I wake up, with respect to everything I do, and especially with respect to being a part of Team BJ, making sure I'm engaged and giving him everything I have every day. So now, when I know that I'm doing my very best every single day, I'm not concerned with what anybody else has to say. I'm not concerned with statistics. I'm not concerned what tomorrow's going to bring. I'm definitely not concerned about what happened yesterday. If that's over, can't do anything about it. You know, there's a quote floating around, and I'm not sure who said it, but it was simply put like this: someone else's opinion of me is not my business. And I live by that motto, because my first rule of every single day is always do my best. As long as I know I'm doing my best, there is nothing else I can do. And that's how I go to bed every night. I give it everything I have and I go to sleep. And when my feet touch the floor the next day, I start it all over again. What am I going to do to give my best today? And when I know I have that clear of a conscience about what I'm doing every day, and that's not to say I don't make mistakes, because I trust me, I've made my share of mistakes. I still make mistakes to this day, and I know I'm going to make mistakes as long as I'm a human being. That's part of the journey. But I still go back. When I fall short, how do I give my best from this point forward? And that's what I live on, and that's the way I'm going to keep it until, again, I'm no longer here in this plane.
So how have you navigated parenting and team DJ, or BJ, excuse me, when you're not in the same house every day?
It really forced me to do these two things, plan and schedule. So it's really made me a much better planner. It's really made me look in the future. It's really made me consider his feelings. It's really made me consider his mom's feelings. It's really made me consider, how do we structure this so that we can give equitable time? We can share vacations. He can visit here. I can visit there. He has everything that he needs. So it really just starts from a physical standpoint, you know, clothing, food, you know, health insurance, all the way down to the emotional side, the spiritual side. How do I feed that? How do I teach him those things? How do I support him when he, you know, like, for example, when he gets a D, which he did a few years back, and now he can't be on the basketball team? You know, what's that look like? And I just don't want to run into that head first and then just find myself lost. So I understood, or I was able to figure out that, hey, you now have to look at this thing as a parent very seriously. You've got to start to schedule things out more consistently, because that's a key for kids in post-divorce lives. Many of them are more successful when you're able to have a more consistent schedule, regardless of what that schedule is. But you need to come up with some sort of schedule that they can rely on, because now you can start to build everything else around that, you know, practices, recitals, school, you know, doctor's visits, what have you. Start to build a schedule so that now it's a lot easier for you to manage that schedule as needed. And then planning, again, can't emphasize that enough. You know, what's the saying goes, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, is what they say. And you've got to start with the plan, because then if something needs to be adjusted or doesn't work, you have something to start with. And now you can make that tweak and adjustment. And it's a lot easier, whether if it, as opposed to just being haphazard, you don't know where you are, she doesn't know where she is, he doesn't know what he's doing. And now everyone in a tizzy and in chaos. When if you just had something simple, you would communicate it. Now you got a totally different conversation. So those are two key areas right there. And then the other one is just staying connected. And so what does connected mean? It's more than communication. Connected is when you truly have empathy for the other side, the other party. You truly understand, you're engaged. How was your day? Like, I start my morning every morning with a morning text to my son. Good morning, how you doing? Usually I'll say champ, or say something funny, or I'll send him a picture. So I want him to know, as soon as he wakes up in that morning, and that text usually goes out about 6:30. As soon as he wakes up, I want him to see on his cell phone, dad saying good morning to me. So that's a way to stay connected right away. Let them know that you're there, you're thinking about them, make them feel the love. So you try to eradicate you from being outside of that home. And the way you do that is you connect to them. How's your day? What's going on in school? Hey, I saw this happen. What's up with that test score? How did basketball practice go? You know, how's your girlfriend? How's Isabella? You know, everything. Anything you need to talk about, You just stay so connected that they, number one, know you're there. Number two, that you're engaged, you're curious, you're asking questions. And then I always open the table up and say, hey, anything you need to know from me, anything bothers you, anything on your mind we need to discuss. And then I also constantly offer things that are going on in my life. Hey, I'm doing this interview with Sean tonight. Hey, I'm working on my website. Hey, I'm doing this with my business. I got an interview over here. I'm doing a meeting here. Keep them incorporated in what you're doing so that there's no gap. It's in the gaps where things fall apart. So I try to eliminate as many of those gaps as I possibly can. And that's what I mean when I say stay connected.
I think that's awesome advice. And for the people who are listening right now, perhaps overwhelmed, some of them just thinking about divorce, some of them just filing and might have a very long road ahead of them before this process is over. What advice or words of encouragement do you have for them?
Oh, there's several things, Sean. Number one is you have to remember that this is temporary. And even though it doesn't look like it right now, because many of us go through years, 1, 2, 5, 10 years of this relationship degradation. And so now when we get to the point where we are now, where it's really going to take that shift or take that bit of finality as far as the paperwork being drawn, it seems like it's such a long road to hoe, seems like it's going to last forever, but it's temporary. It's one chapter in your life. It's a relationship that's actually ending and changing. And if you look back in your life, I'm sure there have been relationships that no longer are part of your life right now. So you've had this experience before. There's a lot more emotion potentially involved in this particular transaction. Get that. But it's still at its core essence, it's a relationship that is now changing. And so once this chapter, once this is written, you have to be willing to flip the page. And the other piece is that it does get better. Sometimes it can be a nightmare. It can be rough. I mean, and you know, you get lawyers involved and you get the constant bickering and fighting. And, you know, sometimes the kids are a part of it. They're thrown in the middle. They're emotional. So it can get really ugly. But again, it's temporary. It's going to get better. It might get worse before it gets better. But trust me, it does get better. The emotions start to swell because you can't stay that upset over a long period of time. At some point, you're either going to wear yourself out or you're going to get smarter and do something different. One of the two of those things are going to happen. And I hope and I know that your audience is real smart, that they would pretty much want things to get better. And that's where I want to focus, is that how do we make things better? And then now I have another saying that I always write down. As a matter of fact, I have it up in my home and I keep it in my email all the time. And it's just this. And I think the Dalai Lama said this, but I'm not sure who. And it's be right or be kind. You make the decision. And for me, I make it simple. There is no choice. I'd much rather be kind than be right, because I'm going to stay on the side of progress. If we focus on being right all the time, you are going to bump your head on the wall so many different times. People aren't interested in being right. Some people aren't even interested in being kind. But I know I sleep better. I feel better. I get more accomplished when I'm kind. And that's what I live by. And that's what I always try and go back to as much as possible. And then the last thing, which was super huge for me, and a mentor early on brought this to my attention, a few years after my divorce, he just told me, accept 100% responsibility for everything in your life. And, you know, now my eyes are wide awake. I'm like, whoa, what do you mean by that? What's going on? And that's the one thing that has really transformed my life more than anything else. Not that I blamed everybody for everything else in my life up until that point. But the negative things we tend to not want to take full responsibility for. So let me go a little bit deeper with that, because oftentimes when I say that, I have people in the crowd who say, Mr. Watts, my wife cheated on me. My husband walked out. He took all of our money. He wanted the new young thing that at his office. So-and-so was a drug addict. So-and-so was an alcoholic. Am I responsible for that? Great question. And here's the answer. You're not responsible for that person's actions. Your responsibility lies in the fact that you attracted that relationship into your life. So the responsibility comes when you now have to reevaluate and say, whoa, I'm a part of these types of relationships. What do I now have to do differently in my life to get a better result? That's the responsibility. So in still accepting 100% responsibility, yes, I am. I was in that relationship. Now this has happened. I see it. And now how do I move forward in a different direction if I want a different result? That's the responsibility. And so regardless of what has happened to us, there's always a responsibility, whether you're the perpetrator or whether in this case, it's your job to take the lesson and do something different going forward.
What is the best place for people to learn more about you and to listen to the podcast and all your other resources? How do they find you?
So the website is wmarkwatts.com. Podcast is on iTunes. It's Divorced, Happy, and Successful. And of course, it's several other places as well. I think it's on iHeartRadio, really trying to broadcast that thing out to as many different places as I can. But iTunes is the main place to catch that. And then as far as learning more about me and what I do, right now, I'm just focused on my coaching services and, you know, different meetings and really just wanting to connect with more and more people, share what I know, do what I can to help. And that's just where I'm playing right now. So, you know, if anyone's really interested, really ready to take another step to really have something different or have those things that they've dreamed about and make their life easy. You know, I want to have such a peaceful life, but peace just doesn't happen because you wake up in the morning and you just want it to be. There are things that you have to do every single day. It's work. And, you know, I don't sugarcoat it with anyone that I work with. You know, having what you want, being happy, doing the things that you're responsible for on a daily basis, managing things when they happen in your life, that requires work. So we're going to work, but I'm going to have fun. We are going to enjoy it. And I'm going to do the very best I can to love any and everyone that I come into contact with. And so that's what I would, you know, impress upon your listeners, is that at the end of the day, it's all about love. And as long as you are connected to love and living from a place of love, being kind and forgetting about your mistakes, because we're going to make them. The bumps in the roads are going to happen. There's no way to get around them. So understand that you can deal with them. You're built for it. And let's just have a ball and really accept how blessed we all are. And, you know, that's what I'm all about. That's what I'm engaged in. I just really want to reach out with people and connect with them and, you know, just enjoy this journey, man, because there's so much greatness going on that it's just overflowing. And I just want to kind of touch someone, and hopefully something that I'm doing or feeling will rub off on them.
W. Mark Watts, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for doing this.
Sean, hey, man, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show, man. I'm looking forward to working more with you in the future.
we've reached the end of the episode, but before you go, I want to make sure you check out some really important information at divorceandyourmoney.com. When you get there, sign up for the email list so I can keep you updated with exclusive information and content that you won't find anywhere else. Also, you'll find the one-on-one coaching services where I get to work with you, the show listeners all over the United States. Look, I'm easy to work with, I'm responsive, friendly, and I'll listen to you. We'll get to get deep into the details of not only what's going on in your divorce case, but your life as well. I end up knowing a lot more than your divorce attorney ever will, because I don't charge by the hour, it's fixed prices, and you can reach me anytime. We get to work together, understand your situation in depth, your financial picture, and help you get to a settlement that makes sense for you not only today, but for the rest of your life. And I also get to keep you out of trouble and keep you from making poor financial decisions. You know, attorneys are great at the law, but they're not financial experts, I should say, and a lot of times I see them end up making settlement mistakes that will cost you for the rest of your life. They could be tax inefficient, forcing you to take the wrong asset that you shouldn't be keeping, or trying to get you access to money that you won't really have access to until you retire. And sometimes you need to know those things in advance and keep you out of trouble while the divorce process is going on, because it's hard to change afterwards. And also, I get to keep a long-term relationship with a lot of you, because even after the divorce settlement is over, you've signed the agreement, it doesn't mean that the process is over. You need to move on with the rest of your life. I have clients that I get to work with for years at a time. I've worked with for years after the divorce is over. They're still clients. I know their families. We go on vacations together. We know their kids, and their kids know me, and we get to have a very nice long-term working relationship, and it all starts with a simple introductory call. We'll talk for 20 to 30 minutes. You just go to the coaching tab on divorceandyourmoney.com, fill out a short form, just tell me what's going on. We'll set up some time to speak, and once we do that, we can start and proceed from there to see if coaching is right for you. I love working with you. It's exactly why I do what I do. And the sooner you book an intro session, the better. You know, it says that you know that you need the help, and you know, it makes easy working with you because we can get into the details of your case and help you craft the settlement that you deserve. Now, book those now, because I want to make sure that I maintain a high level of service with me and my team. And sometimes there's a wait list. And if you don't get on top of that now, I don't want to keep you waiting for weeks at a time, where sometimes things in divorce can move by the hour. Now, also while you're on the website, check out our courses. If you like the show, there are some great courses you can get there. They're longer, they're more in depth, they include visuals, handouts, and even more details as you go through the divorce process. They cost less than the one-on-one coaching sessions, but you'll get a lot of great information from them. They're well worth it. They're better than any book that you'll find on the divorce process out there. And it's me teaching it. It's me talking to you just like I am right now. And it's more in-depth than what you'll get on the show, but it is a great place for you to learn. Some of the courses that are available right now is there's Divorce 101 course. It's called Steps to Take Before Divorce, Everything You Need to Know Before Hiring an Attorney. And also Divorce 102. It's How to Get a Divorce Without Losing Everything, 12 Ways to Avoid Common Divorce Mistakes. They're great courses. A lot of people I know love them. And if you like the show, it's a great place to get more information that I don't talk about here. Plus, as I said, lots of additional resources and custom handouts. And if you don't like the course for any reason, I have a 100% money-back guarantee. And also, there's bonuses. So for the people who take the course and you say, you know what, I've spent the time going through the course, getting organized, learning all this really important information with me, and I want a one-on-one session. I want to work together. Well, I give you a discount, a big discount, for going through the course and learning that information that is well worth the time that you spend and the money. And the reason is for the people who've gone through the course, and they all love it. The people who've gone through the course are so well informed by the time they start working with me that it's worth the discount that I give, because it's just so easy to work with you. And last but not least, leave a review of the show on iTunes if you enjoyed it, and share this information with a friend, and be sure to subscribe so you're automatically updated with new episodes as they come out. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. Thank you for listening.